You are listening to Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. Coming up this week on Kings of the Rings podcast, what more needs to be said about everything that we saw and heard and felt from this last weekend in wrestling? Well, turns out there's a fuck ton more that we have to talk about. So therefore, I brought in our Canadian treasure, Mr. Fretz. I brought in Chicago's very own Smiley to do a massive, massive show about one of the biggest returns in the history of modern pro wrestling. You'll know exactly who we are going to be talking about as we start to hit our dance. It's episode number 361, the newest dance craze, the Ruffle Shuffle, exclusively here on Wrestle Addict Radio, episode 361, and it starts right now. Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Kings of the Rings podcast. One of the most exciting Kings of the Rings podcasts I think I've done in a very, very long time because, folks, hell has frozen over quite literally. I think we all saw something this weekend that we didn't think was going to happen. And so much, I had to break it down and talk to a bunch of more people this week to make sure that I wasn't going crazy. One of the people that we brought back this week's from last week's show, Chicago's very own Smiley, who was at Ground Zero at one of the biggest happenings in all of pro wrestling. Smiley, welcome back. How are you doing?
Oh, it's a wonderful day to be a Chicagoan.
We're going to leave it at that. But also, coming on the show back again, someone who is, dare we say, not only a national treasure in North America, but also in their own country, a Canadian treasure as well. Ladies and gentlemen, with a brand new haircut, Mr. Fretz. Fretz, welcome back. How are you doing today?
Look in my eyes. What do you see? A cheap plug for my friends at PXP. I'm phenomenal, Ricky. Being a man of a Bachelor of Theology, I can confirm that hell hath frozen over, so we don't have to worry about that.
Well, that's good. That's good. That just means we need to bring a coat for that. So, folks, we are here this week talking about everything that happened over this past weekend in the world of pro wrestling, specifically Survivor Series War Games. It happened to be a damn good show overall, but it also happened to be one of the best shows in recent Survivor Series history. I don't remember. I'm just doing these opening remarks now. I don't remember being this hyped after Survivor Series since Sting returned in 2015 in one of the greatest Survivor Series matches ever, by the way. That's how big I feel like this weekend was for me. Fretz, what about you? Did the Survivor Series live up to like that Sting debuting kind of hype?
I thought it absolutely did. This is as big, arguably, as, say, the Shield debuting, or ironically, which was also against CM Punk, or any other historic moment like the screw job. I think this just is another notch in the belt under the annals of history in that
paper. Yeah, CM Punk. Who mentioned CM Punk? I mentioned CM Punk. Smiley, you mentioned CM Punk? I mentioned CM Punk at all. I said nothing about CM Punk whatsoever. Did the CM Punk return? I don't know. What I do know is that we are here to talk about, again, one of the biggest moments in the history of pro wrestling that happened this past week. And to take it from Triple H, R-Truth came back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Eating.
And their chips, by the way, sorry,
eating
Brits.
Chips And I don't know why we call him crisp in the UK. It sounds very chippy to me.
Jermaine, please
Jermaine, don't. just don't weigh in on this at all. But R-Truth is back. No one saw this coming. A huge pop and a massive surprise that R-Truth was here. What were your thoughts when R-Truth, Smiley, came on the screen eating? I think, were they with cheddar and sour cream chips?
Cheddar and sour cream ruffles.
Good, good. He knew the right flavors.
Did the good. I was shook. Shooketh, because if y'all don't follow R-Truth on TikTok, you guys are missing out. That man literally will be on TikTok just listening to his own music and drinking and talking about WWE and how he wants to come back. And everyone asks him, "When are you coming back, Drew? When are you coming back?" He's like, "When they need me." And now they needed him. And I was like, "Yes, he's back." I was so happy. I was so happy.
Yes, yes, friends, when R-Truth showed up on your screen, how happy were you?
Oh, I popped. It was phenomenal. I kind of had to keep my lid on certain things throughout the entire show because I was watching on Discord with Nate and Mr. YLP. Shout out to them. And because of my satellite feed, I'm always ahead. Like, I think we had this on SummerSlam or WrestleMania or something, so I had to really temper it. And then when they reacted, I reacted, but I was so happy. And I love Pretty Deadly, New Day, Alpha Academy, like freaking Tozawa. His little jig is just adorable.
Listen, if I was
R-Truth fits in with
if I was still in my club days, I would have hit the Ruffle Shuffle later on that night. I don't know what's a better dance, the Ruffle Shuffle or the Jelly Roll, because the Jelly Roll and the Ruffle Shuffle are a little bit different. If you watch Raw, there is a little bit of a difference between the Jelly Roll and the Ruffle Shuffle, but I think I'm more of a Ruffle Shuffle person, myself, at least.
Ruffle Shuffle?
I almost bought Ruffles for this show, and I was going to break the cardinal rule of podcasting, which is never eat while podcasting, but I was going to do it just for the sake of the show this week, but...
That's why I ate my kettle chips during the pre-show. And bring sour cream and cheddar ruffles to Canada, Lays.
Wait, hold on. Time out. I got to tell you guys don't have sour cream and cheddar chips?
I guess we trade it all dressed.
But
there are, like, Walmart brand makes sour cream and cheddar, okay. So I still can get
them. Okay, I thought it was because I know you guys have some really strict, like, restrictions on, like, sugar and stuff, which I wish America had, but whatever. But I thought it was one of those rules. But...
Kind of weird.
It's not that bad. It is not all that bad. But yeah, as long as you get some sort of sour cream and cheddar in your life, be happy. Be very, very happy.
Oh, I do. Name brand somewhere makes them and I load up.
Be very, very happy. Almost as happy as your when, oh yeah, CM Punk returned to WWE. I'm not even trying to understate that at all. This is not we're just in fake news or anything like that. CM Punk showed up to Survivor Series in the most NXT TakeOver Triple H produced this fashion whatsoever. And I know. I'll be the first to say it, folks. I know. I mean myself and Smiley as well. We both said, no way in hell, not Will. Not Will's not there. Sorry, wrong photo. No way in hell CM Punk's returning. No way. It just didn't make sense. None whatsoever. You're just like, no way CM Punk's coming back. It's just, it is not a thing that's going to occur. And then like 11 o'clock hit on the East Coast and Cult of Personality, a remastered Cult of Personality came on. And then the entire world, including our very own Smiley, had a reaction, something like this.
Sorry for your ears.
I'm sorry.
You guys think about what happened?
Sorry.
They are back. I'm back.
It's too loud. Damn it.
I exhausted myself.
What the fuck is coming out of this thing?
Did not pull up.
Oh, fuck, shit. Oh, my God. Oh, I can't fucking breathe. Oh, oh my fucking God. Oh, my motherfucking God. What is going on? What is happening? Hell has froze over.
See, yep, just like that. Just like that. Yep, that happened in rotation over and over and over again. Shout out to my friend the Arrow Stream who has just joined us in the chat right now. Little quick sidebar or sideberg before we go into all that is this punk uprising in the world of pro wrestling again. I met Arrow Stream at Comic-Con this past year on the line getting an autograph from Mercedes Moné, who, by the way, folks, is back training to make a return into the world of pro wrestling. So shout out to Arrow Stream, great guy. Check out his stuff. He does a lot of Twitch streams. Great guy. Go check him out. Go follow him. Please, please do that. But back to the moment at hand. Smiley, how do you still have a voice after all of that screaming?
I don't know. I know I exhausted myself. I know I had to go like lay down. I'm like, I gotta go. So I'm like, I'm doing too much. I gotta go.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not 27 years old. I literally ran around my whole entire house and then ran back. It's like I now know what it's like to have zoomies as an adult. Like, you know, if you guys have dogs or animals, you know how your animals get zoomies.
Oh, did we lose the smiley one? Uh-oh, we're lost to connect as well. As she contemplates zoomies. Fretz, are you still with me?
Here she goes.
That's how I was. I was like, what? Did we lose me?
Almost.
Did you guys know? Am I here?
Hold on. Yep, here we are. Magic of live streaming, folks.
Sorry.
You're good. You zoomed so much, you stopped speaking. So what happened?
Sorry. I don't know what happened. But yeah, I was not expecting it. Like, Lil, you saw, like, you know, the little at the bottom, it said
the lower third.
What?
It's like it's part of a lower third, but I know what you're talking about. It's the little credits.
Yeah, they had the little credits at the bottom, and it said next up was what do they have after the pay-per-views?
It's a press conference because AEW calls it a media scrum. The copyright logo. Yeah. Thank you, Arrow Stream. The copyright logo. Yes.
Copyright logo. Yeah. And they had that at the bottom. I'm like, oh, okay, show's over. And now all you hear is dun dun. And everyone loses their shit. I was like, oh my God. I literally looked up my phone. I'm like, hey, no fucking way. There is no way. And you see his logo, you hear the crowd, and here he comes looking about 10 years younger. It's like he left and then just shaved off everything that was the other company, and he looks young again. I'm just like, what? What just happened?
Yeah.
What just happened?
Everybody had a lot of similar stories. Arrowstream says in our chat, Triple H did the copyright like that on purpose. Apparently him and his wife were about to shut off their watch along, and then they heard it, and they lost their minds. And I'm sure, Fretch, you had a similar story when this occurred. Speak on it for me.
Okay, so throughout the entire show with Mr. YLP and Nate from Brace for Impact, we were just shooting the shit and being like, you know, what if he does show up? We didn't think it would happen at all, but then we started cooking up all these scenarios where it would be, okay, you hear that shh, and then like Paul Heyman comes out, or Ace Steel comes out, or like Stone Cold LA. We were cooking up all these scenarios with everyone but CM Punk coming out just to troll the Chicago crowd, much like Shawn Michaels pulled the Bret Hart button in 2005 in Montreal. Or I think they did something similar to this where they did someone else's music and Paul Heyman walked out. I think it was
Punk. It was.
So when the shit actually hit the fan, like, I just paused what I was doing to not react, because again, ahead of the stream, like, what? Waited. Nate just goes, holy shit. Domino falls on Zach, same thing. And then we're all at the same time collectively just not believing our eyes, just going nuts. Like, there is 5 months ago in June, I saw him wrestle Kojima, and Toronto booed the shite out of him, including myself. I was rooting for Kojima that night because, well, that whole situation was a total gog show. We were almost at a loss for words. Like, we stuck around for part of the press conference. Even Triple H is like, hey, big return sign, huh? Our truth.
Yeah, that's cool. Triple H stole my thunder, but continue.
Yeah. And no, that's pretty much what we had. We were just making all these fantasy scenarios because you know how the Discord chat can get absolutely chaotic. We were just pulling all the punches.
Shout out to our Discord, by the way. Give us a follow, join our Discord. It's totally free, by the way. Arrowstream again with a great insight. French, you're getting your job stolen right here tonight. He said, did you notice that in CM Punk's new Tron for his WWE return, they did an homage to all of his logos from his history? His OG logo, the Straight Edge Society, and the Best in the World logo all can be found in that Tron video, which is
Is the Nexus.
Listen, the Nexus is another thing. And so, if you're not Nexus, you're against us. But be that as it may, we can talk about what's next for that. But let's break down a little bit the last 10 years of CM Punk to tell you about how crazy this is. CM Punk, almost at somewhat of the height of this popularity, leaves WWE in 2014 during the Royal Rumble. He has a problem with Miro, formerly known as Rusev, and walks out of a company, breaches his contract, never returns. He ends up getting fired on his wedding day to AJ Lee, who was still in the company at the time, and then later left. Probably less than a year later at this point, Punk goes on his then friend's podcast, Colt Cabana's podcast, and dishes out a whole bunch of allegations against WWE and how he was treated when he was sick and he was injured. In particular, the medical staff or a particular medical staffer, as well as a former WWE talent known as Ryback, who may have officially retired now that Punk has come back, which
unfortunately that's not true.
He rolled it back, damn it. Okay, so you hear the podcast and Punk not only totally bashes WWE, this is a very scorned lover type things going on right now. He swears that he will never return to the world of pro wrestling, and that's true. For
as long as Vince McMahon is in charge.
It's true for a very, very long time. He goes to UFC and gets his ass beat a couple of times. He tries his shot at writing some stuff for Marvel Comics, which I feel like he was somewhat successful in, probably not that great. And then he hangs low for a really, really long time. Then this thing called All Elite Wrestling shows up by the Bucks and Cody and Tony Khan. And with a couple years into that, post-pandemic, AEW signs CM Punk in 2021. He makes his triumphant return in Chicago, in the United Center, to a massive pop and everything like that. He gets one of his best feuds ever. He goes one-on-one with MJF. He wins the AEW World Champion. Exactly, in his time in AEW, he was a two-time World Champion. And then problems occur. A little over or less than a year later, we have what's known as the Brawl Out. You know, CM Punk goes to the AEW media scrum at All Out and totally bashes all of the EVPs in the company at the time. But Young Bucks, he totally eviscerates Hangman Adam Page. And he's eating like blueberry muffins or something. Like, he is totally just off his own Richter at the moment. Mm-hmm. Presser happens. Then what has been talked about, there's no footage yet. He gets into a massive fight with the Young Bucks backstage. They have to get pulled away and all of that stuff. Everybody from that, and Kenny Omega, everybody from that was suspended for a significant amount of time, and CM Punk was also then took time off because he was recovering from an injury and had to have surgery, so on and so forth. So for CM Punk's absence, it lasted about 9 months. And when CM Punk returned, he was given his own show for all intents and purposes on Saturday called AEW Collision, where, as the report said, CM Punk would be the star of that show. He wouldn't have to be with the Young Bucks or Kenny Omega or anybody that he didn't like, including top writers for AEW as well, we're not going to be maybe even allowed in the arena when Collision would happen. So CM Punk gets his own show. He pretty much, like we said, sometime in the summer, he got the Hogan. He got the Hogan treatment. And he declared himself the real world champion with an X out of VE in his AEW title belt. And then he's gallivanting around all summer doing, calling himself the real world champion. Not another AEW type world title equivalent, just the real world champion. AEW starts to plan Collision around Punk, and things seem to be going okay. We then get to August of this year. And you have AEW's biggest event ever in Wembley Stadium, All In. CM Punk is the opening match on the card. He goes up against Samoa Joe for the real world title. Confirmed by multiple reports, before that match occurs, Jack Perry, Jungle Boy Jack Perry, decides to get into a fight with CM Punk.
Over some glass.
Yeah. Crimea River.
Gets
into a fight with Punk. It happens in what is known as Gorilla, where all the wrestlers are pretty much prepped right before they go out to see the crowd. Happens in Gorilla. They have to be broken. They have to kind of, you know, be separated. Punk goes out, does his match with Samoa Joe, and then is never seen from again on AEW TV. There's other things going on that weekend. Apparently, Punk wasn't able to get transportation from the airport to Wembley. He was lost. He had to ask locals where to go, all of that stuff. Be it as it may, this seemed to be the giant last straw for AEW. Punk was suspended indefinitely. There was an internal review, but it happened really, really quickly. And Punk was, according to Tony Khan, who not only made a press release, but also a video about him firing Punk with cause. Most importantly, saying...
In Chicago, by the way.
Good call. He did in Chicago. Most importantly, Tony Khan said that he at one point feared for his own life the way that CM Punk was acting. I know it makes me giggle too.
I've never seen Tony like you're literally afraid of a man from a rich town called Evanston. You act like you're from the south side of Chicago. You were afraid of your life.
Yeah.
What's he gonna do? Call his cop buddies on you?
We later find out, and what I mean later, I mean just a couple of days ago, it was discovered that there is a committee that was in charge of doing a thorough investigation on Punk and to see whether or not he should remain in AEW. And we have just discovered from multiple reports, including Yahoo, I think is where I first saw it, when I was like, ooh, this is getting spicy, that Bryan Danielson, formerly known as Daniel Bryan in WWE, was the head of this committee that decided that Punk should no longer be a part of AEW with cause. So let's stir that pot a little bit. And then we hear nothing from Punk. A lot of us, myself included, probably Fretz included, probably Smiley included, said that was it for Punk. We're never going to see Punk again. He is never going to return. He has had his second shot, and he screwed it up, and he failed in fantastic fashion. Let me tell you, absolutely fantastic fashion. And then Survivor Series gets announced for Chicago. Punk's already fired. And, you know, some rumors like, could he do it? Could they not do it? And everybody in their right, logical, non-marky mind said, no way in hell they'd re-sign CM Punk. That's essentially suicide. Like, that is not something that WWE should do at this point. They're riding too high. Why would you bring somebody who might tear your company down? Seth Rollins even said it. CM Punk's a cancer. Would never want him back. And lo and behold, on November 25th, 2023, 11 p.m. Eastern's time, hell froze over.
And the world
CM Punk walked into a WWE arena. And I still don't know how that came to be. But that is where we sit that's where we sit right now. CM Punk has returned to WWE, and he seems like he's happy to be there. Now, we can go a whole bunch of ways about that. We can talk a whole lot about that, and we are going to. But let's talk to you about the initial impact of CM Punk and Survivor Series War Games in general. It is CM Punk's social media video of him returning to WWE is the most social moment in the history of WWE social media. Nothing has been watched more on WWE's YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, more than CM Punk's return. Survivor Series in general, the most viewed Survivor Series of all time. Sponsorship revenue up 24% from 2022. Merchandise sales records all over. The largest gate in Survivor Series history. The largest gate in Chicago history outside of WrestleMania.
Welcome. You're welcome. By the way, I'm going to put this out there. I don't know if you know, but our governor has thrown the hat back in after everything CM Punk has done. He has thrown his hat back in, and we're back on top of the list to have Chicago as a host of WrestleMania.
Wait. Chicago's a host. Where are you guys going to hold it? In Soldier Field?
We might have a new arena in Arlington Heights if we're working. We don't know yet, but we might. Right now, it's a big if. If our mayor and the Chicago Bears team can come to an agreement, then we'll have a brand new arena in Arlington Heights, and it has a roof, so it'll be able to hold thousands and thousands.
That's fine. It's okay. I mean, just hold it at Wrigley Field. I'll be happy with that.
Wrigley!
It's iconic. It's historic. Wrigley Field WrestleMania sounds fantastic.
Absolutely not. It does not. Who the heck wants to go all the way over there? Home of the Cubs.
Lover of baseball, I am. A rumble in Wrigley Field would be amazing. I agree with that as well.
This is a white sock.
Great name for a PLE.
Rumble in Wrigley. It's actually a great name for a PLE. You're absolutely correct. So, folks, that's the history that was made at Survivor Series. And not many people knew that CM Punk was actually going to show up. According to Triple H, if we believe what he says, it all came together really quick, like that CM Punk t-shirt that magically appeared as soon as he returned on WWE Shop. All came together really quick.
And sold out really quick, too.
Didn't crash the website either. Because
WWE has a good internet infrastructure. It came together really quick. Not many people knew. He said him and Nick Khan, Ari Emanuel, head of TKO, which obviously owns WWE, had no part in this proceedings and dealings with Punk. And they kept it really under wraps. So much to the point that there were videos that showed up, and I'll talk to you about Fred about this, that showed, number one, Drew McIntyre walking out, but he was obviously walked out of the match. Before Punk came out. But more importantly, there was a lot of video footage of Seth Rollins losing his ever-loving mind at the music and at the sight of CM Punk. So I'm going to ask you this, Mr. Fretz. Is that a shoot, or are we all being worked?
In the words of the immortal Will Tarish Suck, work, 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 and Lady Gaga to a
level. Well, actually, it was Rihanna.
That's work.
It was Rihanna.
It's okay.
Rihanna, sorry. I don't sell my music. Right. Rihanna, okay, yeah, so massive work. I mean, everyone, at least who was in the War Games match, knew what was coming at the end. Drew, I mean, his plan with Judgment Day did not come to fruition. He's working. He's frustrated he lost. Seth Rollins, you're just stirring the pot and you're cooking whatever that next feud is. He mentioned him at a house show and Monday Night Raw. Yeah, working. I think that cancer comment at the 2K event this year, also a work. Mind you, there was new rumblings of CM Punk back then. Wrestlers are always working. Like, kayfabe was always alive. Look at MJF.
It's very true. It is very, very true. So, the return of Punk brings a lot of interesting matchups that we have seen before and things that we have not seen before. A lot of Punk's gripe when he first left WWE is that he was never given the main event of WrestleMania. Especially when he used to have the longest championship reign in modern day history before Roman Reigns smashed that to smithereens about 2 years ago. And he was passed up for a Cena and Rock once in a lifetime, which ended up being like twice in a lifetime, and never given the main event spot, even though he did get that spot with The Undertaker, which was arguably the best match on that card in WrestleMania 29. But he never got the true main event, very similar to the gripe that Seth Rollins has had of not getting a main event at WrestleMania. And so with Punk returning and clearly some shoot heat and some work heat, as Arrowstream has so graciously said, similar to baby Cena and Rock, I feel that your night one main event of WrestleMania has just been changed. I have a strong feeling, and this is my, I'm going to put this out there right now, especially after talking to one of our hosts who's not here, Kayfabe, who made the immediate decision to buy tickets to WrestleMania as soon as CM Punk returned, and also within 4 minutes of that shirt coming out, bought the shirt on WWE Shop. I have a strong feeling your night one main event of WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia is CM Punk versus Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. Smiley, do you see that happening?
Yeah, we're all being worked, because I know there's people, there's literally quotes of Seth Rollins saying that he would not care if CM Punk came back. Like, there are literally quotes. There are quotes out there. I know he did, like, multiple interviews. There's quotes out there. He's working all of us. We're all being worked. Trust me, I already are looking at putting down payments for Philly. Like, I wasn't going to As soon as I saw the logo, I'm like, how much is it for a rental car and a hotel in Philly? How much is it? And how much is it in Expedia for their bundle prices? I was like, let me just go ahead and go. I usually don't go to the WrestleManias either. Usually I don't go. I go just to go hang with my friends. But this time I'm like, all right, Triple H, you got me. I'm gonna spend money. You're fine. Mm-hmm. You win.
It's crazy, the thing, and I do want to bring it back to what Triple H said during the media conference as well. One of the first things he said about Punk signing, and Fretch, I know you echoed this in a tweet earlier this week, is that Triple H specifically said what happened between him and Punk and WWE and Punk was almost 10 years ago. And people should change within those 10 years. And if you haven't changed mm-hmm. as a person within 10 years' time, it's not a good sign. Triple H was adamant about saying that he changed and that Punk has changed and that the company has changed. And that they're in a better place and they are, you know, they are here to do business. Who, Trips or Punk?
I'm like, has he changed? He just got into a fight with his coworker.
I don't know. I have a theory about that. But I want to go back to you, Fred. Do you think Punk has actually made a change this time?
I'm cautiously optimistic. Like, I think money definitely played a role in that because, well, what did he say when the mic was off? I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. I think a man can change, like, even like in a couple of months. Like, everyone in that situation, whether it's the Bucks, whether it's Hangman, whether it's Jungle Boy, they were all unprofessional. Punk was as well. Like, he's not free of that sin. I think a man can change, and even in 10 years, like, I can even see him and Colt Cabana quashing their beef eventually.
That's not gonna happen. Colt Cabana likes to hold grudges. That man's from the North Side. He's a North Sider. He's gonna hold that grudge forever.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what happens. Shout out to the warden, Matt Ritter, coming in on the stream right now. Yeah, we definitely want to get your feedback, Ritter, on the return of CM Punk and everything like that. Cautiously optimistic, I think, is a good thing to really mention here. And I'm looking back, what struck me about Punk's return, like you said, Smiley, he looked healthy. He looked like he just got all of that bad weight off of him. He looks in shape. Like, he looks surprisingly healthy mentally and physically, though you can't really see mentally, but you can kind of see it in his eyes that he seems to be in a better place. And I mentioned earlier that CM Punk had a very big scorned lover energy, especially when he first left WWE. And in AEW, you can see it as well, that it seemed like he was there to kind of, like, it was like WWE, or like he broke up abruptly with his ex, and now he's trying to one up his ex by going to the competition.
Yeah, like, see, look at me, I'm with him now. Like,
and it was, and it seems to be, it seemed to be pretty clearly obvious. To me, at least. Also, I have, you know, a therapist hat on half the time, especially by his physicality, like look at how he was physically in AEW. He seemed like he was still kind of in the dumps, and he hadn't really like learned the lessons that he needed to learn, or in, for all intents and purposes, it doesn't seem like he moved on and was in a good place to even be the head of a new company like that. And he needed to fix some things. And it looks to me, in the months that we have not seen, about five, 6 months since we've seen Punk last, when he was in AEW, it looked like maybe in that time he had a come to Jesus moment. He got himself in, he's looked the best that I've ever seen him. And that's when, like, and I've seen Punk when he was young. He looks phenomenal right now.
Oh yeah, he looks amazing.
Like, he looks phenomenal. He looks in shape. It looks like he kind of got his, he's almost like a recovering addict. He's like, he kind of.
But can I talk about the one thing that literally was kind of better than this whole returning thing? The one thing that was better than that.
He brought up AJ fucking Lee.
Yes.
AJ Lee name dropped in a WWE ring.
Please be a surprise entrance in the Rumble.
I think I will lose my
Listen.
Do you want to? I will skip around my whole
house. Skip it. It is interesting that he specifically brought up AJ Lee in his return promo, which we will get into. But I do feel like there is something different about this Punk in his return promo. And with AJ Lee back, I've always had a had a really kind of soft spot for AJ. Like, one, I thought she was a phenomenal worker. And two, she left right before everything started to change for the women. She even had her own pipe bomb against the Total Divas at one point.
Oh, don't bring that up. I see that on my timeline every
other It was still month. Good, and it was still appropriate. God. And I feel bad because AJ Lee... I don't say that a lot about Norm Sider. Okay, Matt Ritter. Because AJ Lee was trying to get a lot of those things that she wanted done, and she never got to see those things happen. And I feel like if she returned now, and it seems like she's still in a good enough shape, that AJ Lee would do wonders in this new age of WWE. I think there's a spot for her there. Listen, if there's a spot for Punk in WWE, then there's a spot for AJ Lee in the wild, wild west of the women's division. But Fretz, I want to throw it back to you. I do have a question for you. And it's more of a hypothetical. I know you're cautiously optimistic about this Punk return. So what does WWE need to do? And what does Punk need to do in order to make this time around a success?
I'm assuming that they've done this already, that they sit down, they hash things out. They say, okay, you got to get water under the bridge, get over what's going on, bury the hatchet with all these people. There is a rumor and innuendo going around. It's not under any credible sources that I can see, that there is some kind of behavioral clause in Punk's contract. But shouldn't that be in everyone's
usually a general contract. Code of conduct for most companies. Yes.
Exactly. So, like, I don't see Punk being like this special case just because of his past and his gripes with Vince McMahon, Triple H, and all them in the past. But they just gotta let bygones be bygones and do business, make money.
Just like Scott Hall told everybody, not here to make friends, you're here to make money. Smiley. What does Punk need to do to make this return a success?
He needs to not piss off Triple H. Do not piss off Triple H. Just continue to be corporate Punk. This is what my friend Cress the Star has called him. Shout out to Cress the Star. She has called him corporate Punk because his promo was very clean, very corporate, very, I'm not going to bring up the other place. Like, I'm very clean now. Like, I'm not going to be dropping pipe bombs here and there. He's very clean, cutthroat, and I'm just here to wrestle and make money. So he needs to just keep that. Wrestle, make money. Don't piss off everybody backstage.
I mean, I'm okay with that. I mean, yeah. I feel like people are trying to knock Punk for being quote-unquote PG in his opening promo, but what did you expect him to say? Number one, WWE has a history and a learned history from never bringing up the inferior brand. You just don't. Don't do it.
Here's the thing. The fans really wanted something to bitch about, basically. They wanted something to bitch about so they can go, see, he's talking about the other place. See, he's never going to change. But he literally didn't bring him up. He was just very clean, very short, very corporate. And they didn't like that. They wanted pipe bomb Punk. They wanted him to be dirty. They wanted him to bring up the other company. They wanted him to bring up Jack Perry. They wanted him to bring up everything. And he didn't. He didn't bring up none of that. It was very short, to the point, and corporate. And bitched about that. So wrestling fans just wanted something to bitch about, and they still found a way to bitch about it. It's just like, give it a
Our stream over here is saying that they did run out of time because Orton and Dom took up a lot of time, which is fine. But then again, you don't need that much from Punk. You need to know that he's back, that he's in a new headspace. And that's something that he said. And that's something that also stuck with me was, and it's something that we didn't see in his opening promo, which was 30 fucking minutes long on AEW.
And this one was like, what, less than 10,
about
minutes? 10.
He got about 10.
Yeah.
And they had a hard cut at like 11, which I thought they were going to give him an overrun, but they did not.
Nope.
The difference here, and you can look back at it, there is that old saying that the eyes are the keys to the soul or whatever. When you saw Punk in his return to AEW, there was kind of a fire, kind of a vengefulness in his look. Like, he was still mad. Like, he had held on to something for a very, very long time. And this is the first time he's ever getting it out. In this return promo to WWE, it seems to me, especially from the watering of his eyes, he's looks like he's a little bit more introspective, a little bit more at peace with everything that happened before. Maybe that's why he decided not to bring it up. Because why? If you're at peace with it,
and
why
plus,
bring it back up?
And plus, he can't legally.
According to Tony Khan. Yeah. according.
It's not necessary.
It happened. We all know what happened. Let's move on. We're not stupid anymore. You know, we have the internet. We understand what occurred and what still might be coming on from a legal standpoint for Punk. But he just seems like. It seems like he just seems to be in a happier, better place. It's like he wanted his ex back. He didn't get his ex back.
Yep.
Then he got mad at the person that he was with because that person wasn't his ex. And then he realized, oh, maybe I need to talk to my ex and bury the hatchet. And now he has his ex back. To put it in like relationship standard, he ran around the ring before the show went off air. That's really funny, Punk. So I have, like you said, Fred's cautious optimism for him, and I hope he does well. And what I think goes in his favor this time around is that CM Punk is not the biggest star in the company. there is a bit of a freedom when you have that. Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins are the and Cody Rhodes are the biggest stars in the company. And whenever John Cena shows up, he's the biggest guy for a week. he is. That's the truth. That's the truth.
He went back to his regular job.
Yeah, once the strike ended, he went back to his regular job. I understand that.
He said, all right. He's like, all right, I've had enough. I'm going to go make some million. Bye.
Exactly like I said. When Punk was around the first time in WWE, he was at the height of his powers. He's one of the biggest stars in the company. And there is a lot of, and especially there's a lot of demand from a brand like WWE when you are one of the top guys. There's a lot of demands when you're somebody in a budding company like AEW and you're the top guy, you're the top draw, you're historically in the history of AEW, sold the most money, had the most merch sold during your run there. Like, he proved in AEW, we're going to take a positive spin on this, he proved in AEW he's still a draw. But even when you're a draw, you have to have somebody pulling in the reins to tell you to slow down or shut the fuck up and calm down. And in WWE, there is a hierarchy, there is a more defined hierarchy, and there are, and he is on a level where he knows where his place is going to be, and he knows who to go to, and there are systems in place that can keep Punk in check. More so than I think the systems were in AEW, where it might be the lunatics running the asylum, Tony Khan included.
Running the asylum.
I mean, that's what it seems like to me. Like, if there is ever a time for Punk to come back in a mainstream way and be successful in WWE, it's right now. Vince is out of the picture. This is Triple H's show. You know, Triple H and Nick Khan have a good eye for business, and this is a very, very big business decision because, again, AEW proved that Punk is still marketable. WWE loves people who are marketable.
It is
a win-win for everybody involved. Punk's going to be marketable as hell. They're going to sell a lot of tickets.
They're going to sell
a crap ton of merch. Everybody's going to get a crap ton of extra money, and everybody's going to be happy. It is seemingly a win-win.
And if he does main event WrestleMania, you guys won't have to go to Minnesota for WrestleMania.
Listen,
because they were top number one running. They were top number one city for WrestleMania. Y'all would have been bored in Minnesota. There's nothing to do except go to the Mall of America. And now Chicago's back and running. You guys are welcome. Welcome at the main event, WrestleMania, in his hometown of Chicago. You're welcome.
I'll believe it when I see it. I happen to be excited to go to Minnesota if that is the case. I know some people who have been to Minnesota, and I knew a player on the Vikings. Anywho, it's a lot of Punk talk, but the other big thing that we have here is this. Oh, yeah, by the way, Randy Orton returned in front of all of his hoopla about CM Punk. Randy Orton returned, and by the way, Randy's huge.
Randy is swole. Like, he didn't lose. Like, he didn't gain any weight. He didn't, like, gain nothing in the whole year that he was gone. His abs are still there. Like, he did nothing at home except for, like, work out and watch TV and be with his kids. Like, he did nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
That man looks amazing. He hasn't aged a day.
Yeah, no, it is scary. I remember seeing Randy. I remember on our show last week, Smiley, we talked about what if Randy doesn't show up and it's actually Punk. And we got Randy and Punk in the same show.
I was right. Remember I told you. I'm like, look at the lightning bolt in his brand new t-shirt. Look at that.
CM Punk reference. Right.
I'm like, holy shit, that's CM Punk reference. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Randy is huge. He started speaking in tongues before he spiked DDT'd.
Apparently, he's done this before. We're kind of all just noticing.
The mics are a lot hotter in the ring. JD McDonagh is going to be RKO'd for the next 3 months. So bad for him. But I don't know. Fred, tell me, what are your feelings when you heard the voices in your head?
I was very happy to see Randy. And one thing I did notice last week on Raw when Cody was alluding to Randy without actually saying Randy's name. The look on Jey Uso's face was the look of, I am.
Yes.
And I'm going to die. Although, yeah, on Raw, they kind of buried the hatchet, but it's just like, hey, as long as you're not in the bloodline, we're cool. I loved it. Like, he still looks like he is friggin', as OSW Review would call, Roidy Magoo. Like, he's massive.
Yeah.
And did he have, he had fusion. Like, it's might not be similar to what I had, but it's, how can you still do all of that while having
had so that apparently
triple it's, back
fusion. What was it? Say that again, Smiley.
Triple back fusion.
I thought it was double, but I could be wrong.
No, it was triple.
So triple back fusion surgery. I know, Fred, you have a little bit of a personal history with some sort of fusion like that. So can you give us a little insight on what the recovery process is like?
Well, okay, so mine was scoliosis related. I had a curvature of the spine, which would have gotten progressively worse had I not gotten it done. Could look like Mr. Burns, could have been in a wheelchair, could anything. So yeah, I had steel rods, one on each side, fused to my spine, took some bone chips out of my pelvis and put in a couple of vertebrae. Basically, my recovery was just a grit and bear it. Like I tried to go for a walk every day. I tried to go a little further every time. I would still get super sore. And then my doctor said after 6 months, I could do non-contact sports. So I was playing like basketball at my youth group. After a year, contact sports are in. So I was playing like a little bit like gym class stuff, like rugby, ball hockey, football, whatever there was. I didn't have ball any hockey? Restrictions.
Sorry, I'm like, you said ball hockey. I'm like, ball hockey? What the heck is that?
Gym class, just picture hockey with a tennis ball. Not on ice.
Oh, okay.
Just on, yeah. Field hockey inside, if you will. That's yes, exactly. So the recovery, at least for my case, it's I didn't work out. I actually did started working out like way after the fact, but it's basically grit and bear. You just have to the worst thing I could do. And that should apply, and that applies for that kind of surgery. Get up and do something.
Well, Randy did a lot of something because he looked absolutely phenomenal. Now, I believe in terms of Randy, as well as CM Punk, they are not directly tied to a brand just yet. So it is a high possibility we could see Punk on SmackDown. It's a high possibility Randy could be on SmackDown, or one of them or both can go to Raw or SmackDown. So my question for you, Smiley, is if you are the head book, if you're a Triple H type character, where do you put Randy and CM Punk?
Randall can go straight to SmackDown because that's technically the Bloodline's show. Mm-hmm. And if he wants to get back at the Bloodline and Roman and all of them, he's going straight to SmackDown. And apparently that's where he's going to go because it was announced that he's going to be on SmackDown this Brooklyn. Friday night. And CM Punk, well, he's probably going to go to Raw because that's where Seth is. And Seth's been talking to A lot of trash.
That's true. Fretz, do you have the same sentiment, or are you going to switch them up?
Basically, I think they're going to free fall right now just for the ratings. But the innuendo is that it's Randy versus Roman at the Rumble. So I think Randy will eventually head on down there because he still has unfinished business with the Bloodline. Like his last match was him and Riddle against the Usos. So there's,
yep, and they took him out for a year. They took him out for a year.
That's when he got written off with your surgery. So yeah, he's going to RKO the crap out of Jimmy like immediately.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. Like, can we?
No words. RKO.
So what I thought was going to happen to Rhea or Dom Dom during Survivor Series, that did not happen just yet. It also just dawned on me, we got a CM Punk return in WWE before GTA 6 came out. Just want to put that out there.
Yes, I did.
Before there was even like an announcement, I know Rockstar said, hey, we have an announcement about GTA this year, and I swear to everything holy if it's another friggin' remake.
But let's put that in perspective.
I haven't played GTA 6. Put it in
perspective. Arrow Stream with another good hot take, as we're saying, GTA 6 will come out when PS 6 comes out. That'll be another 5 years. Randy versus Roman at Rumble, and then let Punk win the Rumble to fight Seth. I like that idea. I like that a lot. I can't foresee Cody winning 2 years in a row. I think Punk winning the Rumble at the same event where he walked out of 10 years prior, poetic justice. It writes itself.
Oh, side note, Sting's final pro wrestling match has just been
announced. What is, let's hear about it. All right, shit. So I want to hear this right now.
So during the episode, Ric Flair and Jesus. Sting talked from the heart, and it says on March 3rd, AEW Revolution 2024 will be live in pay-per-view in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Oh, I thought we had an opponent. Okay, never mind. Okay.
Where did you think I was going
to say? I thought you said we were getting Sting and Flair. Revolution.
No, Flair will have his final match. It did not say who his opponent was going to be, but his final match will be March
in the Flair 3rd. Country. Okay,
in Flair Country.
David Flair return confirmed.
Stop it!
No.
Stop it.
No.
Yeah. Oh man.
No. So good.
Oh man.
But they have not said who his opponent is going to be. And I'm afraid that it will be Flair. I'm very afraid. They did bring up, you know, a lot of his matches were in North Carolina against Ric Flair.
The last WCW was Sting versus Flair.
So I'm afraid that his final match will be against Flair.
I'm scared too, but Flair does need to stop wrestling our stream. As Arashim is literally booking the return of OG Bailey in our comment stream at the moment, but I might pay money to see old Flair versus Sting. Like, I love to see a train wreck, I'm not gonna lie. I might see it, but I mean, I'm gonna pay all the money in the world to see a returning Randy and a returning CM Punk, and WWE is in an amazing era right now. This is worlds colliding. This is just stuff that our old asses didn't think we'd ever see again. And here we are, 2023 going to 2024. Randy, Punk, Seth, Roman. Just there's so much going on. Kyrie saying in the last 3 months, something like that, you had a Cena return, you had Kyrie Sane return, you had Randy Orton come back, you had CM Punk come back. Like, that's bonkers.
What is happening?
Absolutely bonkers. But let's move on from all of the returns. R-Truth included, the biggest return of all time. And let's talk about the other stories that Survivor Series was about. And it's about redemption and reconciliation in the form of Charlotte. Charlotte and Becky Lynch have hugged it out in front of everybody, helping to win the War Games match over Damage Control for Bianca, Charlotte, Becky, and everybody's favorite Angelica Pickles, Shotzi.
You don't talk about Shotzi.
I'm talking about Shotzi in a great way. I love Shotzi. Huge fan of Shotzi. Huge fan of Shotzi. She follows the brand, actually. Huge fan of it. So my question for you, as I'm trying not to get into your bad graces here, Smiley, about Shotzi, is, do you believe Becky and Charlotte are actually friends again?
No, they just got all in the moment. they had a moment. They hugged it out. But then Charlotte's going to say one wrong thing and Becky's going to get pissed. Because you don't come for Becky and Becky's ego. I'm sorry. I'm not a big, huge... But I want to be a fan of Becky, but I'm not. I try my damnedest. I try my hardest. but I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not a fan. I'm so not a fan. And plus, y'all need to just go ahead and say thank you to Nia Jax for making the man. You better thank Nia Jax today. Becky Lynch, the man.
I think Nia Jax every day. Fretz, do you believe that Becky and Charlotte are actually buddy-buddy again?
Nah, we're setting up Mania. Like, this can be a great undercard, non-title women's feud for WrestleMania. And if Shotzi is Angelica, then who is Uncle Stu making the pudding at 4 a.m? getting his life all out of control.
I don't know, actually. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I like my instant reaction is Adam Pearce because he's always miserable.
Yeah, that man's always upset.
You know, it's not Nick Aldis at all. Which don't be surprised if Mickey James shows up anytime soon. Do not be surprised. By the way, I'm just telling you right now. I don't know if I buy. I mean, if it is legit, if it's illegitimate, their return is just storyline purposes. They played it off real well in the press conference. They played it all really well in the press conference and totally annihilating Sir Wilkins in his first press conference ever. poor child, Sir Wilkins.
That was
me. I didn't see the clip yet. I have no idea what happened to Wilkins.
He got flustered. He got a little flustered. That's all I could. I understand. I get it. He just got a little flustered, but he is a part of wrestling Twitter where we all know who he is. So he he got a lot of notoriety from it all. Becky and Charlotte are interesting story. I do like Shotzi's performance in this as well. Damage Control and Kairi Sane and Io jumping off of high things in a trash can, always going to be iconic. Great always. Opening match to kick things off. The only match sponsored by Ruffles Chips, which is still really ridiculous.
Like, are you guys losing money? Why the heck are we sponsored by Ruffles? Are you guys
Listen, but it was a good match all along. But I don't know if I believe Becky and Charlotte. We'll see what happens. Obviously, there's a little bit of freedom here because they can reunite, but they're still on two separate brands. Charlotte's on SmackDown. Becky's on Raw. Never shall the two meet until Royal Rumble again. So we'll see what happens and we'll see what occurs. Let's move on to the workers' match of that night. Gunther versus The Miz. Statistically speaking, Gunther has the longest single reign of the Intercontinental title in WWE history. The Miz would have, if he had won, been tied for the most Intercontinental Championships in history, and then would have been then 25 days away from having the most days in history as the WWE Intercontinental Champion. So, for all intents and purposes, this was match number one of the two statistically greatest Intercontinental Champions that WWE has ever had, and it lived up to it completely. Miz was a believable babyface. Just put it that way. Miz is a believable babyface, even though he pulled heel Bret Hart and heel Ric Flair moves the entire match. He was a believable babyface. This is the pro wrestlers wrestling match, and it was amazing. Fretz, what are your thoughts on it?
Miz almost had me in the ninth there for a second. I thought they were gonna pull. There is no friggin' oh my god, they're gonna do it. Okay, thank goodness they didn't. But yeah, I mean, Miz is a babyface to me, as like MJF is a babyface.
Yes,
it's weird. I don't get it. I kind of don't like it. But this match, like, okay, yeah, maybe you're somewhat believable, but then Gunther just chops you down to size. And
yep.
It was a damn good match. It might have been the best non-War Games match of,
oh, definitely was,
of the night. Like, it went mm-hmm. very well. And that finish, too, that Lion Tamer.
Oh yes, he did hit the line there. Smiley, what are your thoughts on Gunther and The Miz?
I love me some Gunther. I love me some Gunther. This match, I'm not gonna say how long. The Miz brought a lot of attention to the Intercontinental Championship when Cody jumped ship and went to the other place.
The Indies. You're talking about the Indies, obviously.
Yeah, when he went to the Indies. Sorry, AEW's not a thing yet. When he jumped ship and went to the Indies and went to Ring of Honor, The Miz really took control of it and made it a thing. Well, next to Dolph, but still. This match, top tier for me, best non...
non-war games match.
Sorry, I'm still coming back from being sick. My brain's just not getting at the fog. My bad.
Oh, that's interesting news. Thank you, Arrowstream. He said, FYI, the big event, EXS, which is another big non-con wrestling con type event, is Expo, is going to be March 16th, a.k.a. 316. Just think about it, folks. Just think about it.
Is it in Texas?
Nah, Big Event EXS usually, I think, is in New York. They usually happen in Queens around that time. But we'll see what happens. I mean, you did meet Rhea Fury. I would have been there, but I went to go see a Marvel movie instead. And I'm very happy about that as well. But back to pro wrestling. Gunther and Miz, absolutely fantastic. If CM Punk didn't return, I'd be like, give Gunther the main event. Yep. Give him the main event. Because he sure as hell deserves it. He's not going to get the main event of WrestleMania just yet. But he's going to get a main event soon. And then he'll get WrestleMania main event. Because that man has done so much for the IC title and his character and his body transformation. I have a picture with Gunther. And he's twice that size that he is in the picture. Like, he's two times bigger. Like, his body transformation is astounding.
That man really lost the weight, got married, and
danced his ass off too. Danced his ass off at the wedding. I saw the photos. I saw the videos. Man can bust the move. I'd bust the move too if I was with Jenny. Jenny's great. Last but not least, Rhea Ripley is still the most dominant women's champion in WWE right now. So my big question to you is, as we start to wind down from the show, it's going to be in Brentwood. I might have to go to that one this time. Big question for you is, who beats Rhea? Seriously, like, who beats Rhea for the world title, Mr. Fretz?
I'm bringing in an underdog here and someone that I don't think that Rhea has faced.
Okay.
The one mind that came to mind is Roxy.
Oh, a call-up.
Interesting. You mean Roxanne, you mean AJ Lee number two?
Yeah. That's the one, because she's beaten everybody on Raw and
SmackDown. She might get into Iron Survivor as well. Roxanne would be interesting. I just thought of something, but I'll leave that for now. Smiley, who do you think? Don't steal my answer either.
I don't know. I think, knowing WWE, I'm gonna hate it. I'm gonna hate it. We're probably gonna get Rhea versus Charlotte for like the 10,000th.
It's a damn good match.
Charlotte needs to beat her father's record. They're gonna want her to beat her father's record. And why not do it against Rhea Ripley for like the 10,000th time, take the title and become like, what, 15-time women's champion?
It would be 15, yes.
Yeah, and that beating
now, her father. Now, Flair's 16. In all actuality, Flair's a 23-time, but 16 are only recognized. Okay. Yeah, I mean, they do have the blow-off match at some point, but I don't think it's this this time around. But what I'm hearing from you, Smiley, is saying that Charlotte Flair is going to cash in her mythological I'm Charlotte Flair in the bank card, unlike Damian Priest, who can't actually cash in the Money in the Bank successfully and get a title shot.
Yeah, she's going to say, I'm Charlotte.
Yes, the I'm Charlotte Flair. The I'm Charlotte Flair cash-in, which is something. Speaking of cash-ins, and I want to go back to the men's war games real quick. I was really hoping Priest cashed in. I was like, this would be perfect. It
same. I called it too in the Discord.
But how would it work?
As long as he cashes in, before, like he did on the show, as long as he cashed in before the last entrant enters the War Games cage, then it would work perfectly, which is what he was going to do. Like, he can beat Seth, become the world champion in the middle of the match, and then have the mat, then have the other match begin. And Seth has no way of getting it back.
That would have been a clusterfuck. I'm sorry. That would have been a whole ass clusterfuck. I would have been confused. I would have been like, what is going on?
Like, he cashes in on Seth, and then if Seth were to pin him from a stomp or someone else pins Priest in that match, would they become the champion? That is
No. So if he cashes in on Seth, the match is between him and Seth. No one else can interfere.
That would have been a whole ass clusterfuck and make that shit gone way longer than the show.
Well, that's why they had Randy come in, but I do feel bad. I do feel bad for Damon because I don't think he's ever going to cash in at this point. Be that as it may, he could cash in on a newly champ Punk after Punk beat Seth and Mania. Listen.
Oh, the
yeah, new heist do a new heist. I'm do a new it. Heist.
No, not this. I think like. Well, I think what in my brain, you know, I can smell the demise of this group coming from a mile away, and it's going to be per Damien's fault. I think Finn is going to get sick of him, you know, questioning everything, mm-hmm. and he's going to ruin his Money in the Bank cash in, and that's going to be the demise of the
judgment. Oh, yeah, more than likely. Well, let's get back to Rhea and who our prediction might be for Rhea. So, Fretz is saying Roxanne. Smiley is saying Charlotte using her mythological Charlotte in the Bank cash in. I'm
Charlotte.
Yes. She literally opens a suitcase and it's a voice that says, I'm Charlotte Flair, and then closes it again.
That's like, here, I'm Charlotte Flair.
That's what happens. I should really make a cyanide and happiness short about that. And here's my prediction. Especially since we haven't heard a lot about her, and at that time, and I'm stealing this from Bully Ray a little bit as well. Jade Cargill debuts at the Rumble. Jade Cargill
yes.
wins
I forgot about
the
Jade.
Rumble.
I'm sorry. I forgot she was
Jade Cargill challenges Rhea at Mania. Jade Cargill beats Rhea at Mania, establishing herself as one of the most dominant women in all of WWE by beating the current most dominant women in WWE, giving Rhea a year run at WrestleMania and then giving them a lot of time. We know Triple H said that she's not ready, but they will have enough time.
Because that girl's on vacation. She's not even training. She's on
but
vacation.
But she will have enough time from when she was signed leading into Mania to be ready for that spot. I have faith in Jade Cargill. I think the best person at this moment in time to dethrone Rhea Ripley will be Jade Cargill at WrestleMania.
All the fanboys are going
to
be so
mad.
Pissed.
Be mad. You know where to find me.
You know where to find me.
I'm not afraid to go toe-to-toe with anybody, especially people who call themselves a wrestling journalist. You know about that. I am so not mad. Afraid at all. Be mad, but I'm going to be so happy when it happens. I'll be there sitting in club when it does. So I think Jade's the one. I think she is the one. I
wouldn't be mad. I would be so happy.
Damn it, that's good. I forgot about
you. That's why they want you to forget about her, because she's going to come in.
She's been on vacation for months. She's been in like Hawaii for like the past month.
She'll be fine. She'll be fine. I wholeheartedly believe she will be fine. And we are fine right now. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show this week. A lot of Punk talk, and it was very, very warranted, and I'm very happy that I got two of my close wrestling friends here. Smiley, returning again for the second week in a row. I want to tell you guys some of this. So Smiley, about 40 minutes or so after the show After Survivor Series War Games ended, I get a message from Smiley, and she says, "You have to get me on the show this week because only a Chicagoan can understand what just happened." And I said, "Fair deal." And then Fred's reminded me a couple of days. I was like, "Hey, am I on the show?" What's going to go? "Oh, yeah, you're right. You are on." Because I scheduled. And luckily, I was able to have both of them on, and we had a pretty, pretty amazing, amazing show. So thank you, both of you, all for coming on the show and talking about all the fun wrestling stuff. So I want to give you guys equal time to promote and post out all of your stuff. Fred, starting with you, sir.
Yes, you can follow me on all the social medias. That's, you know, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, and Threads whenever I check those other ones. At Fretzelmania, FRETZLEMania. I do podcast on Wrestle Addict Radio, where I'm currently in the Attitude Era, although today I recorded my final Attitude Era podcast of the year, as the next two are going to be the matches of the year, and probably take the holidays off. I am wearing my comfy Fretzelmania hoodie here. You can buy that at our store on Spring, and yeah, keep your ears open for Fretz's Fave 5 breaking down the top 10 matches of
2020. Yeah. So. All right. Smiley, what do you got to plug? Ooh, that's okay. Sorry. Smiley, what do you got to plug?
You can find me on Twitter at SmileyBWR. That's Smiley with two E's. I post nothing but wrestling content. And also, you can see this person right here. Hold on. I'm going to just... Yes.
Hello, doggy.
Oh. Hello, pooch. He's a good pooch.
He loves to come in during the show or at the end of the show for attention. This is Kira. I also post nothing.
We'll give Kira a mic next time. Big yawn.
she has a lot to say. She has a lot to say. She's like, "Damn, I was here for it. My mother was not. Sorry." Yeah. Yeah, that's where you can find me. I'm mostly on there. I don't do Instagram. I have an Instagram. I don't post on there for odd reasons. I don't know why. I just don't. I'd be forgetting.
It happens. It happens. Yeah. It's a lot. So with that being said, folks, let's kick this into high gear and let's get out of here. And then we're going to go to the post show. So hopefully, guys, you all will stick around for the post show, including you, Arrowstream, because I got some Arrowstream stories for you. And we can shoot the shit Arrowstream and if Matt Ritter's still around as well. But before we get into all that... Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Kings of the Rings podcast, episode number 361, The Ruffle Shuffle, because Smiley was ruffle shuffling all over Chicago once CM Punk came back. So much ruffle shuffle that we even had to bring in Fretz to make sure that we can get a great show together without screaming the entire time. I've been your host, King Ricky Rose. You can find me at Ambassador Biggs across all social media outlets whenever I return in 2024. BIGZ, Ambassador Biggs. Find Kings of the Rings podcast at KOTR_podcast across all social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, Discord, all of that fun stuff. Like, share, subscribe, leave some five-star reviews. If you like some of the merch that Fred is wearing, that I'm also wearing as well, the links to all of our merchandise and everything in between is in the description below this video and our audio. And if you are listening to us, make sure you're listening to us on your favorite podcasting site by subscribing to Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast, and follow Wrestle Addict Radio at @addict_wrestle on Twitter. No one calls it X, and Wrestle Addict Radio everywhere else. When we return next week, or when I return next week, who knows who will be a guest on the show. I actually haven't booked them yet. My bad. I've been still going crazy over this Punk thing. Maybe we'll have some AEW news. Maybe Punk will actually drop a pipe bomb. Maybe Triple H will sign somebody out of the blue again. And maybe Jade Cargill will finally be ready to go to the big show. But until then, folks, we are going to see you guys later. And hopefully you stay with us for the post show. So goodbye. Good night. We'll see you soon. And someone who I hope never returns to the show is Slack, because... Fuck you, Slack.
Fuck you, Slack.
No, you're not, Fresh. We'll see you soon.
Midnight Music.
This has been a WrestleAttic Radio branded podcast.